And then we have some what are called quasi-experimental studies. So they're not able to really randomize people to having health insurance or not, but they use methods from applied economics to try to use these sort of natural experiments. And in general, these few studies find that health insurance does both reduce mortality and improve health status. Most of them focus on very acute conditions. So you're looking at things like a heart attack, giving birth, having a stroke, having a car accident, right? So these are situations where you don't really have much of a choice about whether or not to go see the doctor, right? You're having a heart attack, you go to the hospital, and looking at differential health outcomes by health insurance status. And so these really are, because these conditions are so acute, they're really looking at, okay, I'm conditional on knowing you have a very acute health problem. What are the effects of insurance and sort of changing the treatment that you receive? And it's been interesting because, you know, physicians are very, very reluctant to believe that, you know, when somebody gets wheeled into the emergency room, something different gets done to them because of their health insurance status. But many of these studies are quite convincing for people who aren't clinicians, who are, you know, looking at the methods that are used. So we're going to do something a little bit different here, right? So these are acute conditions, and we're going to be focusing more on a chronic disease, cancer. And then some of these studies also sort of look at the impact of insurance on differences in outcomes by things like race or education or previous insurance status. Okay, so what we're going to do is try to answer this question: does having health insurance coverage through the Medicare program affect cancer health outcomes? Medicare is the federal program in the U.S. that covers everyone over age 65. But what we see is that about 10 to 12% of the U.S. population is uninsured at some point in those 10 years leading up to Medicare coverage. And at age 65, almost everyone becomes eligible and covered by Medicare. So, you know, you're sort of looking at this. There's some group of people who have insurance and can change the type of insurance they have, but they're insured the whole time. And then there's this approximately 12% of people who don't have insurance at some point between the ages of 55 and 64, and then become insured at age 65. So what we're trying to take advantage of is that change in insurance status at age 65. And we're specifically, our cancer health outcome of choice here is going to be the detection of cancer. Ideally, you might also want to look at the impact of having health insurance on your mortality or your life, you know, your survival conditional on having cancer, which is a bit harder to do. I'll talk about at the end, but this method that we use to analyze the data works quite well to look at the case of detection. And this is important because cancer is now the second leading cause of death in the U.S. Medicare, so this one insurer that covers people over age 65, accounts for about 45% of the entire country's spending on cancer treatment. So Medicare should care as a program about how it's doing in that sense. And of all Medicare spending, cancer treatments are about 10%. So it's a significant chunk of money. And, you know, chronic diseases, of course, are becoming more and more prevalent, and cancer is a big one. Chris?
So the big obvious challenge here is that people, everybody knows they're going to have Medicare at age 65, so they put off testing at age 64 and so on.
Right. So if that were true, we would see decreases in testing rates at like 62, 63, 64, and they would jump back up. So we can look for that in our data, but for sure, yeah, everybody knows that it's coming. Ironically, my dad's turning 65 today, and he's definitely very aware that it happened. So it doesn't sneak up on you. People know it's coming for sure. Okay, and so in thinking about, you know, the context here, so again, as I mentioned, you may be developing cancer over time and not feel any symptoms, right? It's quite different than having a stroke or a heart attack or getting into a car accident. And so while those other studies can tell us something about, again, the effect of insurance on health via sort of the treatment mechanism, this tells us a little bit more about, does health insurance affect health by detecting disease that you wouldn't otherwise be aware of? We also thought it's possible that this might be a place where you would expect bigger effects between the uninsured and the insured, because whether you have insurance or not, you're probably pretty aware when you're having a heart attack or a stroke or you're having a baby, right? With this sort of asymptomatic condition, at least for a while, people who have insurance and are regularly going for checkups or are regularly getting screened are going to have their cancer detected earlier, whereas the uninsured who may be consuming less or different types of care might not get it detected until later. So we actually thought this might be a place where that marginal effect of having insurance would actually be bigger. And it's also worth pointing out that Medicare in insuring people reduces the price people would pay both for the screening tests like a mammogram or a colonoscopy. They also reduce the price that people pay for physician visits. So in other studies, people have shown that rates of cancer screening go up at age 65 and rates of seeing a physician also go up at 65. So in terms of our detection of cancer, some of it could work through screening tests. Some of it could work through going to the doctor, a general physical exam, those sorts of things. So we'll break that out a little bit by the types of cancers that have screening tests versus not. Okay, so our data, we're going to combine two different sources of data. One is the US SEER database, and this is basically a cancer registry. So every case of cancer that's detected in 12 US states is recorded in this database, and these 12 states make up about 25% of the population. And in addition to saying, here's an individual at this age who has a cancer detected in this organ, we also have fairly detailed information on staging, so how advanced the cancer is, how far it's spread throughout the body, the size of the tumor, and other measures of cancer severity. And if you're someone who knows more than I do about, the details of cancer detection and diagnosis, there's actually quite there's more detailed information in SEER about all of that. We're also going to use a big national survey, the BRFSS, to give us information about things like education and other socioeconomic variables that are not included in the SEER database. So we have, this is individual level data, and we have things like age and sex, but socioeconomic variables we don't have in the SEER data. So we're going to collect them and aggregate them to the calendar year by year of age level, right? So we're looking at, let's say, 42-year-olds in 2002 and what percent of them have a college degree, that sort of thing. And our methodology is called a regression discontinuity design. So here we're, again, taking advantage of the fact that people's insurance status, the percent of people who have insurance, changes somewhat, sharply at age 65. And so we look just on either side of age 65 and look at how much do cancer detection rates change, right? So if health insurance changes, how much does cancer detection change? The assumptions here are that other determinants of cancer detection, things like are you married, is your spouse bugging you to go get screened, how much education do you have, are you employed or not, that those change over the age range, but in a very smooth way. They don't change sharply at age 65. And that if people were not getting more insurance at age 65, that the outcome here, the cancer detection rates, would be changing in a smooth way across that age threshold. So if there weren't a sharp change in insurance, there wouldn't be any sharp change or any discontinuity in detection. So another way of thinking about that is that your true risk of developing cancer, irrespective of whether it's detected or not, increases with age, but in a very smooth way, right? So there's nothing happens to you at age 65 that suddenly increases your risk of developing cancer.
Can you say anything more about the bundling being smooth across the system?
Mm-hmm. So the one of the main this discontinuity at age 65 in insurance has been used in other studies, and I think one of the major potential problems is that people are more likely to retire at age 65. So now they have all this time on their hands, they have more time to go get screened, see the doctor or whatever, but that might be confounding the effect. Basically, in the paper we cite one study of, it's more about a labor study that looks at retirement at different ages and doesn't find a discontinuity in retirement at age 65, and another one of the CARD papers that uses this discontinuity in insurance status and addresses that issue of, it looks like, you know, rates of retirement are going up but aren't changing sharply at age 65. And I think part of it's that maybe it was more of a historical norm that we still hold in our heads that people retire at 65, but it's not so true anymore. And so what we also do is we use the BRFSS data to calculate rates of employment at each year of age and each calendar year, and use that as a control.
By state?
By year of age and year. Okay, so in terms of the analysis, I'll show you some different results. One of the things that's nice about this method is that the pictures tend to tell the story very clearly, so I'll show you some of the graphical evidence we have for discontinuities in cancer detection. The regression results are going to come from fairly simple models where we regress the cancer detection rate on an indicator variable, a dummy for whether or not someone is age 65 and above or not, so whether they're eligible for Medicare or not. We control for a trend in age above the Medicare threshold, above 65. We separately control for a trend in age below the Medicare threshold, and we add a bunch of control variables in. So our controls include, linear trends in age, squared and cubed trends in age, sex, and race, and then things like education, income, marital status, and employment are taken again at this sort of year by year of age level in the survey data. Yeah.
So the clinical observations here at age group?
Yeah. So because you don't follow individual people from through their screening history, their insurance history, and their detection history, right? So the idea is that people who are above age 65 are exposed to more insurance, and do they have a differential cancer detection rate? So it is year by year of age. Yeah.
What is the age group?
So this has to do with the bandwidth and the RD design. So our baseline specification would be 60 to 74, so 5 years on either side, but we also include bandwidths of 10 years on either side.
So how many age groups do you have in
the... So in the baseline, it would be 10. Mm. Yeah. With different calendar years. Okay, so it's not, right, it's not individual level data with thousands of observations. I think it's 77 in our baseline regressions. So I'll show you results from separating out the cancers with screening tests versus cancers without screening tests, because we're interested in how much screening itself is responsible for increases in detection. So this gets sort of abbreviated as BCPC for breast, colorectal, prostate, and cervical cancer. And we also do the best we can to assess whether people who are uninsured before age 65 have larger effects on detection than people who did have insurance before 65. And this is challenging because we don't have individual level insurance status, but we use some state level variation in insurance rates. Yeah.
I didn't follow that last thing. People's insurance situation, they may have it changes and hope it gets better going into Medicare.
Yeah, so I think the idea is, again, we can't measure this at an individual level, but in some ways we would expect quality differences in insurance going from whatever private or Medicaid coverage people have before age 65 to Medicare after.